In the town of Le Havre, the harbour water changed colour every hour. Sometimes it was bright blue-green, sometimes exhausted grey, and other times a mysterious inky black. Boats creaked against their anchors, from great English ships with towering masts to little shabby fishing boats, wind-worn and piled with soggy nets. The wind always carried the smell of salt and fresh, slippery fish, which spilled out daily on the wet, rough wharf-boards. The ropes were every shade of brown. 17-year-old Claude Monet strolled down the main street in his dark suit and starched lace cuffs, his thick dark hair tucked beneath his jaunty hat and an artist's portfolio under his arm. Pushing open the creaking door of the art supply shop, he called out, "Bonjour, monsieur." Old Gravier limped from the shadows, illuminated by a few oil lamps.
"There you are," he exclaimed. "Did you bring more of your work to sell?"
Claude dropped the portfolio on the counter and lifted his new caricatures, drawn with huge heads and minuscule twigs of bodies in the popular Parisian style. The old man chuckled, showing his broken, tobacco-stained front teeth.
"You clever boy," he lisped. "Yes, people will pay well for these. Commissions come in every day for you. Can you go to this address first thing in the morning? The gentleman who lives there is eager to have his caricature made. He's the father of your friend Mark from your lithe, which hasn't yet let out for today, I believe."
"Hasn't it?" Claude replied airily, taking the address and ignoring the subtle inquiry. He turned away to glance out the window and down the street to where ships bobbed in the water, their masts moving back and forth. Someone was coming past the shop and in through the door. "Who is it?" he thought, a little uneasily. "Ah, no one much. Only Eugène Boudin, one of several local painters who haunted the area with an easel weighing down his shoulder, always wearing the same clothes and shapeless brown hat. He was, perhaps, 40. Friends said you could set a firecracker off near him when he was painting and he'd never hear it." As Boudin walked across the floor, nodding pleasantly to them, the closing door created a sudden small wind, which lifted a few sheets of drawing paper from Claude's portfolio. The young man dropped hastily to his knees to retrieve them.
"Bonjour, Monet," Boudin said. "Allow me to help."
He also stooped to retrieve a paper that had blown against the counter and glanced at it. Stroking his beard, he studied a chalk sketch of boats.
"But what have we here?" he asked, surprised.
"Is this yours?"
"It's mine. Merci,"
Claude replied stiffly, holding out his hand.
"But it's very good indeed. I didn't know you drew seriously."
"Oh, I don't draw seriously," Claude replied as he put his drawing away. "I just do it for my amusement between my real work."
"Your real work?"
"Yes, I intend to be the most famous caricaturist in France."
Boudin began to sift through a large wood box of oil paint tubes that Gravier had brought him. He weighed a few in his hand, his face thoughtful. Looking up at Claude again, he said,
"So that satisfies you, eh? But come, you've never tried oils or landscapes?"
Claude sensed both artist and shopkeeper waiting for his answer. He shrugged.
"Landscapes, monsieur, such as you do? Standing outside in all weather to paint? That doesn't interest me."
Boudin shook his head.
"Look here, then," he said. "Try it once, and you might change your mind. I'm going to paint at dawn tomorrow, and I invite you to come with me. I'll bring an extra easel and supplies. Meet me in front of this shop at 5 in the morning.
"It is unreasonable to go anywhere at that hour, monsieur."
"It is totally unreasonable."
Boudin touched his chosen paint tubes with love and carefully laid money on the counter to pay for them.
"Accept it as a challenge, if you like."
"Why, of course, monsieur,"
Claude replied calmly. 5 in the morning, as you say. I don't suppose it's as hard as all that." He walked away more quickly from the shop, glancing toward the wharf where his father's business stood. Not for the world would he go that way. Things were bad between them. It had not always been so. When Claude was younger, he had adored his father and loved to run down to the nautical supply shop delighting in the cut-glass inkwell, the pens, the samples of brittle ropes hanging from nails, the tin boxes of hard bread. He would go after school, climbing on his father's lap, being sent at last to the confectioner's to bring back cakes with hazelnut cream to eat on the desk between the accounting books. Then came the harsh quarrels of the last few years, his sarcasm and poor marks at school, the bitter confrontations. There was also his exemplary older brother, Leon, who was turning out, as his father said, the way a man should. So much had changed since those early days. Then his father and mother had slept lovingly in one room. For 2 or 3 years now they had separated into their own bedchambers. He knew the cause. Claude hunched his shoulders as he climbed the hill to their house in the Angouville neighbourhood above the harbour, breathing harder for his anger and clutching his portfolio as if to defend himself. His mother was delicate, sweet, and too kind for this world. She should never have been the wife of a tradesman, but of some great man who would have appreciated her love of the arts and her gift of empathy. She was tenderly warm, welcoming all, from their friends to the beggar at the back door. As he approached his large house up the path and walked through his mother's rose garden, he made his decisions on how best to manage the evening before him. Guests would be coming tonight for the monthly musicale. If he did not descend until they arrived, and escaped upstairs again before they left, he could avoid the irksome problem of speaking with either his father or his newly married brother. His shapely young cousin would be coming as well. That would likely make the evening bearable. Claude mounted the stairs to his room 2 at a time and closed the door behind him. This room was his alone since his brother had moved away. With its narrow bed, washstand, and well-worn copies of novels, poetry, and plays on the shelf and in piles on the floor, it served as his refuge. He had also tacked some of his caricatures on the wall, near magazine pages of women dressed in the latest Parisian haute couture of wide crinolines and embellished silk evening dresses. Glancing at his small desk, he saw his schoolbooks waiting for him, and with sudden disgust thrust them under the bed. Why had old Gravier asked him that stupid question? He put it from his mind as not worth thinking of at this moment, and lay down to read a favourite novel. Hours later, when darkness was falling and the clock below struck its melancholy 8 times for the hour, he heard the voices of their guests for the musicale. Dressed in his evening suit and shirt with lace cuffs, he sauntered downstairs to the parlour. Gaslight shone on the embroidered chair seats, the silk wallpaper, and the good French piano. He noted also the plentiful supply of wine.